June 1st, 2014, Sunday afternoon service. Today we are going to study from Psalm 61 to the chief musician on the stringed instrument, a Psalm of David. Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. As you know, David is crying out for help and salvation in many psalms. Although David was anointed to become the next king, he was chased by King Saul all over the country. When we decoded the Bible, this section also indicates the Great Tribulation. So this is a prophetic picture of what is going to happen to the Christians in the end time, I think. The verse tells us that when you're in trial, crying out to God is the right thing to do. I remember when I was working at a trading company in Roppongi, the work was really hard. I had to work late and also work on the weekends. I almost had a worldly thought of staying there and make a lot of money. But after being there for a while, I got so tired. My heart was crying out. And I prayed that I don't believe this is what the life is about, and to lead my life to the place where I could serve Him and to live for God's purpose. And God opened the door for me to move to another job in Hutu, where I had more time and also had a weekend off. So I was able to spend more time for God's work. So I know that crying out to God is never in vain, since God always hears our prayer. Verse 3 and 4. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Here, tabernacle is the same as a tent, which I think will be the underground church in the Great Tribulation era. The wings, or any reference of a bird, I think, is the Holy Spirit. Jesus also described God's love for Jerusalem as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings. In the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 13, the wings of a great eagle is also mentioned. Now, when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child, but the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. I think the woman is a metaphor of the remaining Christians on the earth, and I don't think the actual eagle would come down to carry all of us out of persecution in the end time, but I think there will be a big work of the Holy Spirit to protect us in the end time, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, we will be nourished for a time and times and half a time, which I think means 3.5 years. When such time comes, all will be led by the Holy Spirit. So if you're not hearing the Holy Spirit now, that is a problem. It says to 7 churches in the book of Revelation, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So hearing the Holy Spirit is important. And it does not say just to listen. It says, those who have ears, let them hear. So you need to train your ears and heart to listen. Even if you're a Christian, there are people who have ears to hear, and there are others who don't have ears to hear. Prophecy is also hearing God's Spirit. So train your ears to hear the Holy Spirit. I remember when I was going to a seminary school, our professor told us to buy the study guide. And then he sounded like if we did not use this study guide, we would not have any future as a pastor. So I asked the Holy Spirit what I was to do, and I heard him say that I didn't need to buy the book. And if I bought the book and then studied the Bible according to their interpretations, rather than rely on the Holy Spirit, I would not have future that God had prepared for me as a prophet. So I didn't buy the book. It was an expensive book, and I'm sure that there are other students who just could not afford a book. I could afford it, but I didn't believe in using the book. And I didn't tell anyone that I didn't have the book, and nobody noticed it. And I was praying that I would not get yelled at for not buying the book in it, but no one noticed it. So I am glad that I heard that Spirit. And I think we should all train ourselves to hear the Holy Spirit now, rather than hearing and paying attention to the voice of the world all the time. And going back to the Psalm, verse 5, "For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name." This heritage is the promise of heaven and what we will inherit from the kingdom, like Abraham. Jesus also said to the disciples at the Last Supper that he will go to prepare a place for them. So having a place prepared for us is important. And those who fear the name of God is the one who will inherit the place. But if you don't fear the name of the Lord, you may not have a place to inherit. I feel like people nowadays do not fear the name of the Lord. Not only God, people do not fear or respect authority anymore, like the president of the company or politician. And even politicians are bad-mouthing and saying terrible things to each other. And I see the same tendency among the Christians too. But if we fear the Lord and keep His name at the highest place, even when we are criticized by other people, you will enter into His blessings. I can only speak from my own experience, but as I do God's work, I get criticized by other people too. I know there are many others who are doing even bigger work for the Lord than myself, but even for the little I do, I get criticized for my interpretation of the Bible. And I remember when I delivered a message at a seminary school, there was a pastor from Okinawa listening to me preach, and my interpretation was totally new to him, like about the bird's wing and the mustard seed growing to a big tree, or the metaphor of a church. And the pastor was so upset with my interpretation. And I spoke as I heard from the Holy Spirit. But then I realized that there are people who do not agree with me. And I also realized that I should never back down, even when people do not like what I say, because I needed to honor God who gave me that message. And I chose to listen to Him instead of people, and now I can hear Him clearly regarding the end time message, and that's what I do. That's why I do what I do now. And I know that I'm no longer on the broad and easy path like I was in 20, 30 years ago. The path is getting narrower, and that's the right thing to do. And I'm not saying that we should disrespect people, but we should fear God first above anything else. Verse 6 and 7. "You will prolong the king's life, his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him." This is about David's throne, but I think this could also mean what will happen in the Christian world. And I think Antichrist will come and trying to reign the Christians and the world. Verse 8. "So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." This daily performing my vows in front of God is what we need to do. Jacob also made a vow to tithe after seeing the ladder where angels are ascending and descending, which I think is a metaphor of a church. So you have a place where angels are active And Jacob vows to give one-tenth of his tithe, his possession, which is tithing. So commitment and work from both sides is needed. As Paul also said, the tithing is to sow with flesh and then reap spiritual fruit. And I'm not stressing about tithing. I'm not here to talk about tithing, but I just want to stress that God is relational. And work from us is also needed when we want God to work in our lives. Well, let's look at Leviticus chapter 22, verse 18. Speak to Aaron and his sons and to all the children of Israel and say to them, whatever man of the house of Israel or the strangers in Israel who offers his sacrifice or any of his vows or for any of his freewill offerings which they offer to the Lord as a burnt offering, you shall offer of your own free will a male without blemish from the cattle, from the sheep, or from the goat. They used to give cattle as a living sacrifice, but now we sacrifice our own life by walking with God. And this world tries to earn the most with the minimum input. When something is sold for a cheaper price, even I would choose the cheaper one. But if you try to apply that in your walk with God by giving minimum input and trying to obtain the maximum blessings, you will be led astray. So what I sacrifice is, for example, I read the Bible and pray every morning. When I'm so busy, there is a time that I cannot do it, but for the most part, this is how I start my day. And no one forces me to do this. I do it willingly. And any work you do for God, you do it as a free will offering. And it says in the verse, since this is relational, He loves to receive your input, and God wants to give back His work into your life. And that's the covenant and the promise you have with God. The other day, I went to a Chinese restaurant in Fuzhou, and a waiter seated me at a table next to two men who were talking about horse racing. And they were so drunk, and they were speaking loudly, so I heard everything they were saying. And it sounded like they come to Fuzhou every week to bet on horse racing. And after they have discussed much about the horses and the race, one of them started saying that he might not come next week. And his friend got very upset and started criticizing him. And I thought, even in this worldly relationship or friendship over horse racing, if one flakes out of his commitment, his partner gets upset. So God must also get upset if we flake out on our part in our relationship with Him. Or rather, He might not get upset, but He will not be happy. And we might miss our work a day or so when we are busy, but if we flake out on Him for a long period of time, I think we grieve Him. So giving Him the sacrifice of thanksgiving and other sacrifices is the key to also receive His blessings in our lives.